you would create multiple attribution links and have them tied to specific ads. So at least you can see how many people actually go to the page, how many people add to cart because of that ad. That would be kind of like the hack.
Thanks for subscribing to the ZonCon podcast, the podcast all about Amazon conversations. These are the tips and tricks to become an Amazon millionaire. Here is your host, Andrew Erickson. He is all things Amazon, and so is this podcast. Let's have an Amazon conversation.
Hey guys, welcome back to the ZonCon podcast. This is Andrew Erickson, as always, your host of the podcast, and we are here with one of our favorite guests. This is probably, the third or fourth time that Michelle has come on the podcast. Michelle Barnum-Smith is a marketing guru. She is passionately called the ManyChat Michelle or EasyBot Michelle, so she has lots of different tools on how to help us Amazon sellers find customers and market our products on Amazon. So Michelle, thank you so much for coming back to the podcast yet again.
Yay, here I am. I love it. I love to be able to hang out with you, Andrew, and be able to chat marketing tactics. I think it's a little embarrassing sometimes when marketing people hang out because there's so high level of geekery that happens. Or we're just like, oh, you know, there's something over here and there's something over here. And you did that. Oh, that's amazing. I had this conversation with, if you haven't had him on yet, Colin Foster is amazing and highly recommend him as well. But we fully geeked out last week on some like Shopify marketing strategies, Tripwire offers, you know, free plus shipping offers. Like there was madness going on for a good hour and a half. We just could not stop. We couldn't help ourselves. So I love any chance to talk to marketing with another marketer because it's just a good time. It's
nice.
A good time.
I love it. You know, I'm actually, it's funny because marketing is something that does not come natural to me. I have my engineering background, I'm a math data guy, whatever. And marketing is something I've had to like learn quite a bit.
You're so good at it.
Oh, thank you.
You would never know it. You would never know that you were a marketing hater because you have like embraced it so well. So good for you.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. It's funny, when I was in engineering school, I always thought like, oh, if I can make a thing, I'll be successful, which is true. You can just focus on making a thing. But then I realized like, if you can make a thing and sell a thing, oh my God, the world is your oyster.
Now you've got it, my friend. Now you got it. Yeah, because there's a lot of people in this world who have like, quote unquote, invented things or have ideas. But until you actually sell it, like it's not real, right?
Yep. Exactly. I love it.
That's the needs for sales and marketing, my friends. And here we are.
I love it. And you are going to tell us some special marketing techniques today about Mother's Day. And I know you have lots of fun tips and tricks. And of course, like you actually mentioned to me that not everyone has the same Mother's Day across the world, especially in our different Amazon markets. So why don't we first at least establish what is Mother's Day and when is it?
When is Mother's Day? Let's answer this question first. So in the United States, Mother's Day is May 8th. And why Mother's Day is important is this is actually the second largest gift-giving holiday in the United States, you know, aside from like what we call Q5, which is, you know, Black Friday, Thanksgiving, you know, American Thanksgiving to American Christmas. So like aside from that massive time frame, Mother's Day is an opportunity to get your products out in front of people because there are people, you know, who doesn't have a mother? Right? Like you're selling to men who are buying for their moms and their wives. And, you know, and it's also Mother's Day has kind of also evolved into a women's holiday. So it's kind of like, if you have a woman in your life, you best be gift given, you know, kind of a thing. And you're also targeting women who, you know, might be buying for themselves, their sisters, their mothers, also mothers, wives. Even though I tell my husband, like, look, you're in charge of getting a present for your mom. Guess who's every year buys a present for her mother-in-law as well? This person, me. That's so funny. So it really is kind of like that season, that holiday where it's like anything goes. And so that's why it's such a big deal. And I know that like the UK has their Mother's Day in like March or early April. And so sometimes you forget like, hey, American Mother's Day is coming up and this is an opportunity to be taken advantage of.
Nice. Good. So we have just a few weeks left to go. And those of you who are having to buy Mother's Day gifts for your mothers and for your wives and for your mother-in-laws and everything else, do be mindful of that. So there's your first PSA. But if we have products that are related to mothers, women and other mothers, then let's talk about how we can kind of get ready to rank and go for those. And also, we can use Mother's Day as our core example because it's very tangible. I love that fact that you shared with us that the Mother's Day is the second biggest gift giving holiday of the year. I did not know that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
But even if you aren't hyper, Mother's Day isn't hyper relevant to you. Michelle is actually going to tell us like why it might actually be relevant to you, but also this concept of like getting ready for gift season still will apply to many of us, right? Or for a particular day, whether it's like the beginning of summer or the beginning of Halloween or the beginning of whatever it is that your niche is. I think this still is hyper relevant to that same idea. We're just going to use Mother's Day as like our core example.
Well, and I think if your product has any seasonality to it all, you can leverage these same kind of like ideas and thought processes to apply to your marketing. Because we're not just talking, in fact, I had no intention about talking about ranking. I know that most of the time that's how I'm positioned and what I talk about. But actually, like, I'm just talking about general marketing offers because quite frankly, if you're trying to rank for Mother's Day, you probably have already missed the boat for the main keywords being like gifts for women, Mother's Day gifts for mom, you know, like things like that. We're now at the hockey stick point from a search volume perspective. Now that like we're recording this day after Easter, you know, sometimes as Americans, we just can only handle one holiday at a time mentally. And as soon as Easter is over, it's like, Mother's Day is coming. Holy crap. You know, and the pre-planners are already like, you know, maxing out gifts for mother, you know, or gifts for women and doing that kind of shopping and that kind of like.
The pre-planners are already like buying the 4th of July stuff, I guess, right?
If you're truly trying to rank for keywords that are relevant to any kind of seasonal offer, let's just say, you know, if you're doing something for Mother's Day, you know, like I know Mother's Day floats around, but it usually is the second weekend in May. You're going to want to start your ranking campaign for those relevant search terms late March.
Okay. So you're saying like 6 weeks, we have to begin our ranking campaigns usually about 6 weeks before. Okay.
Yep, it's all about like catching the wave as opposed to trying to paddle so that you don't get crushed by the wave, right? There's a difference between being on the top of that wave and being on the bottom of that wave. And anybody who tries to run a ranking campaign while the search volume is shooting up, you're basically missing it. So you want to be on top of that search volume ahead of time. And that's true for any kind of seasonal campaign. So if you have like a summer barbecue product that's going to do really well for Memorial Day, that's coming up the end of May, you're going to want to get on top of that.
Today. right now, we're 2 weeks left in April, one and a half weeks left in April.
Maybe we can do it after Mother's Day. After Mother's Day is fine. But it's just kind of one of those things, same for Father's Day. So there's the big seasonal events. And then, like I said, if you have any kind of seasonality to your products, you want to get on top of that, you know, at least 2 to 3 weeks in advance of when it starts to rise. If you're trying to chase it when it's peaking, you're going to lose a lot of money doing that. And that's just some like ranking guidance. As it relates to Mother's Day specifically and putting offers together, there's a lot of people out there who are just like, I don't sell bath bombs. So like, how am I relevant to sell something for Mother's Day? You know what I mean? And so
I like your doggy there in the back. I can see your dog's super excited. I can see a tail wagging.
My dogs ignore me all day long. And it's only, they're like children. It's only when I'm doing something important. They're like, hey, mom, what's going on, mom? How's it going? The cats come down. Dogs are barking. Oh, I'm like, oh, my gosh. Anyway. So
special offers for the holidays.
Yeah. So here's the thing is that you do not have to have a product that is like this highly giftable product. You know, if you were to search for gifts for women, you're going to see things like, you know, beauty gifts, bath bombs, bathrobes, you know, the standard fare. Well, guess what? As a woman and having received many of those gifts in my time, you get sick of it. You're just like, can you just think about what I'm interested in and maybe give me something that's relevant to who I am as a person, you know, as opposed to, you're a mom, you're going to like bath bombs. That's true. I do actually really enjoy bath bombs. But the reality is, like, I'm also like a well-rounded human with other interests and things. And so as a product owner, as a brand owner, you likely have a product that could possibly be positioned to, you know, sell for Mother's Day. So case in point, let's pull up. And maybe, Andrew, you have some obscure things that you could test me with as well. Let's test some offers. There's ways that you could, there's almost any way that you could spin a product for Mother's Day. So let's say, let's start with something easy and say like silicone spatulas, right? Kitchen products. Like, of course, mom's going to love probably some, if she's the main cook in the home, probably some new kitchen gadgets, right? And you could put an ad up on Facebook or send an offer out to your list saying, you know, like, don't forget, Mother's Day is coming up. Like, here's a reminder, get 10% off. Click here to go buy it now on Amazon. You know, that kind of a thing. You know, put together whatever offer you want to. But it's just like a simple reminder. Hey, this makes a great gift for Mother's Day. Like that kind of a thing. Facebook ads, the whole works, right? Let's talk about something a little more obscure. Let me pull something out of the air.
How about like pet supplies, dog leash or something?
Pet supplies, guys, are so huge. Such a huge opportunity for Mother's Day because people have their fur babies and somebody's a fur parent, right? A fur mom. Yeah. And a fur dad. Oh, that's weird. But you can say, you know, save that one for Father's Day. But like,
careful about Googling that. It might pop up something you
You target, like, that's such a huge list building opportunity for Facebook ads targeting people who, you know, love dogs and, you know, women who love dogs, you know, kind of a thing. That's probably like a huge, huge range. And putting out there, like, do you have a fur baby? Celebrate, you know, you're a fur mom. Congratulations, fur mom. Like celebrate Mother's Day this year with 25% off this, you know, pet brush or whatever it might be. So don't forget that there's opportunities with like the various niches that you might serve and do, you know, kind of interest targeting in Facebook, which we can kind of talk about later. The other obvious one, if you're like, okay, I'm hearing this and it's the day before Mother's Day, I got nothing, right? Like I missed the boat, I missed the window. You haven't. Because the best gift you can give on Mother's Day is a discount, right? So instead of saying, hey, give this as a gift, and you're trying to target gift givers of your product, you can just target the person who would receive the gift and say, we just want to say thanks for all you do, mom. Here's 25% off our storefront, you know, or something like that.
Ooh, I like that. That's really good. That's a good one. That because that applies to everybody. It doesn't matter because everyone in their audience has, presumably everyone in their audience has women, right? So, yeah. Oh, I love that. That's good.
So it's definitely one of those holidays that like people forget about and could just like sometimes the men who are last minute shopping. My husband loves to go to Costco the day before Mother's Day just to watch the panic buying that's going on. Like the stricken looks on men's faces as they're like, looking at the ravaged, you know, flower section. There's no chocolate left in the store. You know, like he just likes to watch the store burn down with all the panic that's going on in there. I'm like, why don't you get me something while you're there, huh? Anyway, so this is an opportunity to kind of like once again, kind of target your gift buyers and then target the gift receivers the day of, you know? So if you're promoting pre-Mother's Day, target the gift buyers. And if you're targeting, if you've missed the boat or, you know, or just structure it so that you have both campaigns simultaneous, that you have an offer going out on Mother's Day as like, hey, thanks for all you do. We love mom. You know, we love our moms. Here's a juicy offer just for you. Also, I want to point out that this time of year, as well as the holidays, your target audience, like if you look at brand registry and you look at your typical demographic profile, it is going to be opposite that, basically.
Oh, interesting.
For the holiday and for the gift giving season. Because if somebody's likely to buy your product for themselves, you know, that kind of a thing, then the opposite is going to be true during the holiday season because it's going to be the person who, you know, is in a relationship with that person or has a relationship with that person who's going to be doing the buying. So if you're typically targeting women of a certain age, demographic profile, you're going to be targeting the, you know, typically their partner, the man, the son, the daughter, you know, those types of people instead during the pre-holiday period of time.
I always had a hard time with that. So the brand that I sold was very giftable, very women's product, giftable thing. Giftable in the sense that when I pulled as many numbers as I could find, which is, this data isn't like, you can't just like download a report to see how many times this product was gifted. But when I kind of looked at customers and emailed people and looked at reviews and stuff like that, it seemed like somewhere between a third and half of my purchases were for gifts, which is a lot. It's a lot. That's significant. Right?
That is really significant.
Still a minority though, right?
Sure.
And so how do I, and that's a hard time, I think I always had a hard time with, how do I market for that gifting thing? Because it's a huge part of my market, but it's not the biggest part of my market. So how do I like, because I always had like my fourth image was always like a great gift. And then, you know, there's like a, we would change it based on the season. So I have like smart. A kind of a Christmas tree in the background, kind of fuzzed out, right? And the thing sitting there gift wrapped, right? And then another one would be like Mother's Day would be kind of more springy background, whatever. But I still had I feel like we found a good balance, but I never was sure like the exact way of knowing how to market a gifted, very gifted, but not majority gifted product.
I think from a ranking campaign perspective or a keyword, you know, on Amazon strategy would be some relevant gifting or niche gifting search terms. So instead of going for the granddaddy of search terms, which is gifts for women, which typically all year round has some ridiculously high search volume, and then the holiday, any Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, you know, Christmas, it always just like skyrockets, right? But let's say that you have like I'm getting ready to launch my own home decor brand. You heard it here first, friends. Nice. And so for me, like I would probably go after like some niche search terms relevant to gift giving, but also kind of like the niche that I serve. So if I'm trying to reach somebody who is super into golfing, like if that is their hobby, like it's really easy to like find, you know, hobby related gift terms, because gifts for golfers, you know, for example, you know, instead of gifts for men, which you're going to come up with like any number of like bourbon glasses with like, you know, vulgar sayings on them, you know, like instead of like go after that like specific hobby, like gifts for barbecuers, or, you know, if mom is super into, you know, biking or gardening, gifts for gardeners. If mom is into, I don't know, homeschooling or cooking, gifts for cooks, gifts for chefs, the home chef, you know, those types of things. So instead of going after like, and if we're just talking about like hitting that like gift market, that's maybe like a small subset of your main, you know, people who are buying for themselves, always having something relevant for people who are trying to buy for somebody else. That makes sense to me as well. As I've rambled on unnecessarily.
I'm looking up gift words now for mom and Mother's Day to see what kind of traffic there is. Cause that's the targeting a niche keyword is, that's a really good tip. So I typed in gifts for mom. I'm looking at mom and mother. They have to have that. And so here's an example. I love that. What you said there, Michelle, about more targeted, right? So I see, let me just go ahead and search. I'll filter by search volume. Gifts from mom is huge, of course. It 120,000 searches a month right now. So that's
low. Go to gifts for women right now. It's probably going to be like upwards of 2 million already.
Let's see.
Those are the ones I don't recommend. I don't recommend trying to hash it out with the people who are selling bathrobes and bath bombs and, you know, like some sort of like chocolate kit.
Yeah, so that's the big one, and I totally agree. It's going to be really hard to compete on those really huge ones. But the thing is that like there's so many of these niche ones. So bonus mom gifts, that's good. I like that one. You know, bonus mom. I that's a rebranding of stepmom. A stepmom is.
Oh, there you go.
Have you heard that? I like that bonus. It's a nice Like, it gets rid of the fairy tale connotation of, like, the evil.
Right. What Disney has done to stepmothers, like, they need to pay the world back for that.
New mom gifts, mother of the bride gifts, Easter gifts for mom, sympathy gifts, pregnant mom gifts. See, this
how I would do the keyword searches for, like, niche gift giving is I would start with the niche. So I would look at, like, gardening. And your relevant search terms that you're already indexed for, they're already, like, relevant for your product. And then look, add, like, the word gift in there, you know, and see what comes up and see, you know, if there's anything that's interesting. And also, I would also say from a ranking perspective to not judge a keyword by its search volume, unless you're right before the holiday. I would always look at its seasonal jumps and see, like, okay, it's 200 monthly searches, but gosh, during Mother's Day or right before Mother's Day, it leaps up to 100,000. You got yourself, like, a perfect keyword, because it's going to be really easy to rank for that, and you can just ride it all the way up.
Nice. I love that. That's good. What tools are you using to look at search volume and the
other? I like Helium 10. I mean, it's a good place to start. I would start with Helium 10, and then I'd probably get in Brand Registry and just validate that with, like, the actual data. But I think Helium 10 is a great kind of, like, way to start just doing, like, a mass search, you know?
Okay, I did what you said. I put in gardening as my main keyword, and then I just filtered on gift, everything containing the word gift. And there's some that aren't really relevant, but then there's, okay, plant gift, garden gift bag, okay, gardening gift basket, gardening gift, gift pouch, which I'm not sure how that is relevant to gardening. Maybe it's something I don't know about. Yeah, that's cool. I love that. There's actually a lot of keywords that are related to gift that are in the gardening niche. So there you go.
Yeah,
that's great. And they add up to quite a bit of search volume too. I mean, those four I just mentioned, those add up to over 10,000 searches a month, which is pretty good. Really good.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with even just typing in, like, gifts for gardeners, gifts for golfers, gifts for cooks, gifts for, you know, don't just do mom, focus on mom's interests, gifts for yoga people. <You know>? Like, what do you call it? Gifts for yoga, like, I don't know, or gifts for cyclists or biking or hikers, or, like, what is your mom interested in? Maybe think about it. Maybe that would be, like, how meaningful would this gift be if you bought a gift that was, like, like, actually, so both you as a gift giver, as well as, like, you know, pitching your product to people. And quite frankly, when it comes to, you know, maybe there's people out there who are like, hey, I want to do this, but I don't have an audience. You know, I don't have, like, a channel. Like, of course, if you already have an audience, if you have email, if you have SMS, if you have Messenger subscribers, if you have followers on Instagram, followers on Facebook, pick your social channel, like, for sure, start promoting this, your offers. And I would say at least once a week until, like, Mother's Day is over, and on Mother's Day. So it may be the same offer, you know, per audience, like, the whole time, like, here's 25% off, here's a reminder, like, it's the final countdown, guys, should be deadline for Mother's Day, you know, like, you're hitting them with multiple offers. Okay. And then on Mother's Day is the, thanks, mom, we love you, here's, like, a gift for anything on our store. You know, there's that kind of timing of the offer. But let's say that you don't have an audience. This is actually a significant time for list building opportunities. You know, like, there's nothing like panic buying to get people, like, on your list. And so if somebody has that interest in golfing, and let's be honest, like, if I see something as a mom and is a product that I want, and I can tell my husband, like, hey, hint, hint, here's, and it's on sale, or, like, screw it, I'm just going to buy it for myself, and I'm going to, like, give it to him to, like, package for me, wrap up, and be like, here's my gift that you gave me, just FYI. There's plenty of that. But, like, Facebook is a great time to get your products. And when I say Facebook, I mean Instagram as well, because the ad networks are shared. But this is a great time to, you know, position the offer and say, like, hey, this makes a great gift for, you know, women who are interested in golfing, or, you know, does your mom love yoga? Here's this really great, like, you know, mat or something, you know, that kind of a thing. So whatever your product is, there is a way that you can spin and develop an audience, you know, interested in buying the product for mom. And then, you know, you can obviously send them to a ManyChat flow, which is what we do in EasyBot. We make it really easy for, you know, we have Mother's Day campaigns and things like that, that you can just plug into and develop an audience with. Or you can just send people directly to your Amazon listing, you know, add an attribution element to that, an Amazon attribution link so that you can track, you know, campaign performance, but take advantage of that traffic and in, you know, driving sales, driving traffic to your listing. If nothing else, you're going to see, like, hopefully you're going to see some like rank boost just from the traffic that you're bringing.
I love that. You know, and you know, the, I know you know this, but y'all, the audience know that external traffic, Amazon's starting to love external traffic. A big thing that they, I don't know why they did this, but they kind of didn't like it in the past. They actually would hurt you because your conversion rate was lower. Generally, external traffic is lower conversion rate than stuff that's like query based on Amazon. But now that Amazon just flipped that and they love external. So I don't know why, but it doesn't really matter why. It matters that it does. So yeah, driving this external traffic can be really great. So Michelle, I'd love to hear EasyBot, your tool, right, for ManyChat. How do you leverage that? I know you mentioned the attribution links and maybe like describe kind of what those are, then how you use them, and then the advantages of those things.
Yeah, so EasyBot is set up to be like, we're trying to make audience building and then using that audience easy for you to do. So, you know, how many people out there are email marketing professionals? Probably no one. You know, we are, and SMS and all that fun stuff. So ManyChat in the past has been primarily used for Amazon sellers as like a ranking tool where you're doing like big, massive rebates and, you know, all those fun things. But it can be also used for general audience building and then, you know, doing crazy things like sending offers to your audience that are full price, you know, and, or, you know, developing a relationship, asking things like product research questions and developing an audience who's actually interested in your product, not just about getting like some super deep discounted deal, right? What would that be like? So EasyBot, like our mission is to make that easy for you so that, you know, like the seasonal campaigns are easy to install on ManyChat, customize with a few kind of custom elements and campaign parameters. And then all you have to do is drive traffic. And if you already have a list in ManyChat that has like the email information or opt-in in for SMS or are subscribed via Messenger, then our campaigns are very easy to execute there. As well as we give you the tools and the training if you want to run Facebook ads to connect to these ManyChat flows and make it really easy for you to build the audience as well and to kind of start that. For most sellers, if you have an audience, I still recommend that you run those Facebook ads because it's like, it's such a unique opportunity. It's a big time of year to build that list as well. So always be building, you know, and there's this really smart guy I know who has kind of like this catchphrase, something about always be launching. So I'm going to leverage that. That would be an Andrew Eric-ism. So I'm going to leverage that and say, always be list building, always be building that list so that you can come back and have offers in place.
Always be list building. That's good. I like that. I'm going to steal that one. Always. So yes. My thing is I always chant ABL, 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 always be launching, always be launching, always be launching, because that is, we are a product-based business and the more products, the more business, right? I love that. I'm going to always be list building. I also like ABL, always be learning. So always be learning about list building and launching. Let's do that.
Oh, I like it. I like it. And I think the point being is that, like, you know, we have other campaigns available in EasyBot as well. General offers, single-use coupons, general coupons, you know, different things like that, as well as different URL builders. So if you're wanting a ranking URL against terms of service, but you can still build one and use it. It's very effective. Or you can build canonical URLs or, you know, different kind of calls to action. And we have instructions on how to make, you know, associate those and connect Amazon attribution to those links as well. So, you know, our campaigns, we're just trying to make it easy for you to develop an audience and then actually like continue to communicate with that audience, not just when you have a product launch coming up, you know, and your list becomes stale and cold and hates your guts. But like have a series of offers and communications that you can get in front of them and keep that relationship warm, right?
I love that. And to clarify too on the attribution links there, in case people haven't heard, there is a new attribution thing that Amazon is doing. It came out, I don't know, what, 3-6 months ago? I think it was right coming into Thanksgiving, right?
Probably. It's like, I feel like it's been around for a while, probably because I still, like, I can't believe it's April. And so it's hard for me to think.
Let's say it's been around for less than a year. Less than a year. So newish. And Amazon, so you can use, Amazon never did this. I don't know why, but now they do. So thank you, Amazon. You can create a link and you can have it sent to your listing on Amazon. You can even say the link you want to go to. You can create that link through Amazon and then you can give it to whomever you want. You can make 1,000 of them. We have, I don't know, I think I would say maybe over 100 now that we have. And we give one to influencers and one to our email and one to our Instagram and one to this, one to that. Of course, we do that for our product line since we have like, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 links for each product. And the cool thing is there's two awesome things. The best part is actually it shows you the conversion rate. It shows you how many times people click it, how many add to carts. This is the only place you can see add to cart information. Actually, there's a new report that came out a few weeks ago that actually has that in there. But we'll the search query report. But we'll actually do a whole episode on that later. But we can see add to carts and then we can see conversions through these links. That's the best part. Almost as great as that data is that Amazon pays you.
Yes.
If you use these, they pay you 10%, right? So it's not so what the way I think about it is that 10%, I get to have extra ad budget because of that. So when I push $1,000 or $2,000 through these attribution links, I'm going to get $100, $200 back in I don't call that brand referral bonus. That's what they call it. That's the thing Amazon uses. So now I get to add another $100, $200 to my marketing campaign. It just makes it so I can basically double my marketing when I do that. So, and you said that EasyBot does use those, right?
Yeah. And I'll put a link here and you guys can link to it in notes. But basically we have a training on how to set up attribution. And I think this is really important, guys, because Amazon, as it relates to external traffic, is a black hole of not sharing information. So this is one of the reasons why I really hesitate and tell people to set up Facebook ads and drive traffic directly to Amazon, because the way that Facebook measures conversions is via their pixel. It's what they call it. And that pixel, same with Google Analytics, has nowhere to attach to inside of Amazon. Amazon does not share with external ad networks. And so your ads, both for Google and Facebook, cannot automatically increase engagement or conversion. It can't measure events and conversions and therefore say, okay, this ad is more effective. And it, you know, the automation side just basically shuts down, which is why I prefer that you run traffic through, you know, ManyChat and those kind of list building mechanisms, because then you have subscriber information, you follow up, do those kinds of things, and then use a call to action link that is associated with the Amazon attribution URL. Therefore, you get data back with which you can make, you know, more decisions with. So it's a little bit more of a process, but it gets you better information. In a pinch, you can use the Amazon attribution link and tie that into Facebook, and just make sure that you're updating and optimizing your Facebook ad campaigns according to that data that you're getting back. But it's not as much as Facebook would give you if they were running the campaign.
Can you give
we could talk about this another time because it's a much bigger conversation. But the pixel, like the way that with the recent iPhone iOS updates, you know how the apps now ask, hey, would it be okay if we tracked you and shared information
about you with our
Everybody's like, oh, I don't know. You know, like that's basically like really hurt the advertising network world, Google and Facebook. And I'm just like, oh, Amazon sellers been dealing with that kind of nonsense forever because Amazon doesn't share any data with the ad networks. So, you know, like the Shopify world, the D2C world are feeling crushed, and the Amazon world is like, this is the same as it ever has ever been, you know?
I'm guessing Amazon doesn't, or Facebook doesn't do this, but could you tie in the attribution link and the conversions and the ad carts and tie that conversion back into the pixel and have whatever the AI is on that pixel? No, they don't do that. No. But I mean, like, technically you could. I mean, like the data is there and the pixel is there. You just like they're just not quite compatible, right?
There's more, there's so much more to it than that. Like when I'm running a Facebook ad and I run multiple images, multiple copy, I'm doing lots of A/B testing, lots of audience testing, you know, different things like that. And I can very quickly see, you know, to my ManyChat campaign, which ad is dominating, which audience is responding best. I can optimize things to redirect my budget to the highest performing. You know, it's kind of like water, how water flows downhill. It, you know, if the land is level, the water is eventually going to like cut away and then it's going to flow down to that least path of resistance. And Facebook ad budget is very similar in that regard, where it will redirect to that highest performing, most engaging ad and audience or ad set as they refer to it. When Amazon's not giving that data back to Facebook to tell them, hey, this is how this ad performed, and this is how this, you know, this audience, you know, associated with that ad is performing, then those automations can't happen. And therefore, you know, it can be a waste of money.
But that data is there though, through the attribution link. So it, can you, like, I know it's not the pixel.
I think if you can have multiple attribution links per campaign. So you wouldn't create one attribution link per campaign. You know what I mean? Mm. You would create multiple attribution links and have them tied to specific ads. So at least you can see how many people actually go to the page, how many people add to cart because of that ad. That would be kind of like the hack and the workaround to be able to say, okay, I can see I have 15 links associated with this Mother's Day campaign, and this link number 5 has the most traffic. I can shut off the other, you know, campaigns. It's just kludgy, I would say.
All right. Like, here's a business opportunity. You heard it here first. Those of you who have programming skills and have marketing skills and know Facebook ad platform and know the Amazon ad platform, we've just created the framework of a new business opportunity for you.
Do you know Yev Marshenko?
No.
I'm pretty sure that's how you say his last name. Dr. Yev.
I know him. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Like a couple years ago, he had a platform called AMZ Jet. I think he sold it. I don't know what's happened to it since, but it was an attempt to bridge the gap between Amazon and Facebook from an attribution standpoint, and to be able to say, okay, there was a sell here, and it was like a Facebook ads network plugin. Because to be fair as well, there were a lot of people who were driving traffic to their D2C site, like their Shopify site. And people are just like, there's no, like, you know, this isn't working. And a lot of buyer behavior lately has been to see a product and then go search for it on Amazon because they have Prime, because they have shipping, you know, and to buy it there. And so the tool was actually built for the D2C space to provide like proof that buyers were buying on the Amazon platform, even though that the origination was a Facebook ad through their website. Does that make sense? It's all kind of like,
yep.
But it was an attempt to kind of bridge that gap. I don't know where it is these days and what's been done with it, if anything. But that's what it was attempting to do. But I agree with you. If there can be a tie between Amazon attribution and like the Facebook ad network, there is.
I guess you could kind of do it manually and just do like a big old dumb spreadsheet and just update it manually. But that's running some software. So, Michelle, this is great. I love the content. I loved all the stuff. Let's recap. So when we are focusing, we're thinking about gift giving seasons. We want to, you had 3 great tips, right? One was to pick gifting keywords in your niche, and you'd be surprised at how many of those gifting keywords there are. We gave us the gardening example and the dog toy example. And then the time frame around when to start marketing for gifting. And then the third tip was, how to create an offer that like even a great offer. And then that really golden nugget there that I love is that even if you're not giving if you really don't have anything applicable to your niche, you can always just offer a coupon to the mom's
the greatest friend. Gift of all.
Yes, you can give a gift for Mother's Day. So I love that. That's amazing.
Well, thanks for having me. I think one of the things I just wanted to point out as it relates to gifting, gift niching keywords, those can be relevant all year round. Yeah, there's going to be seasonality to them, But there's always people's birthdays are always coming up, anniversaries, you know, all, you know, the personal holidays side of the things as well. So if there is a product that you think like, hey, there could be like a gifting opportunity here, there's no reason to not go after those niching gift keywords and just make yourself relevant for them all year round. And then you'll automatically be in position to take advantage of those when the bigger gift giving seasons come up.
Nice. I love it. I love it. So we'd like to ask people the same three questions on this, but we've already asked you those questions. One of the questions is favorite piece of media. I'm going to hijack that question though and answer it myself because there's a book I'm reading right now that is highly relevant to what we're talking about. .com Secrets by Russell Brunson.
Oh, there you go.
Really good book. It talks exactly about what you're talking about, how to create offers and sales funnels and stuff like that. So I'm like halfway through the book and I love it. And maybe I'll do a book report on the podcast. Maybe I'm going to plant a seed. Maybe in May I'll do a book report on it. It'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, cliff notes it for us. So those of us who are like, oh yeah, I need to get around to that. You know how many books sit around in my office that I just are like, oh yeah, that's right. And then my children come home from school and I'm like, yep, that's not happening.
Dude, audible. Dude, it's all, I only read through my ears. I just like the podcast, right? I only read through my ears. I don't read with my eyes anymore. People give me shit for doing that. I'm like, well, you know what? Like, and I show them, I have 7 pages of notes that I write as I'm listening, right? And I'm like, I listen to the book. It's going into my brain. It's just going in through my ear holes instead of my eyeballs. So yeah.
I love it. That's right. That could be like a regular segment that you provide, you know, a book report on what you're listening to, you know, regularly. So we can all learn from.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So you're full of good ideas, Michelle. What is one? So we always like to end the podcast. What is one actionable thing that people can do today?
So if I were your CMO, guys, I would tell you to get a Facebook ad up to date promoting your offer to a niche interest-based audience and just say, makes a great gift. And we have like Canva graphics templates for you to use for Mother's Day. If you just go to help.easybot.com and search for mothers, just mother, we have a whole training section on not just how to set up the ad campaigns, but then we have resources like our templates, our graphics templates there as well. And how to run and set up Facebook ads. Like you can literally just use all of that for free. And it's going to make, that is my CMO task for you today.
Nice. I love it. Help.easybot.com. Easy meaning not difficult and bot like robot. So help.easybot.com. And then you said search for mother, right? Or mothers? Search for mother. Mm-hmm. Nice. Love it. Love it. Michelle, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for giving us lots of tips on how to market for gift giving season and how to use these different tools and resources to do a great job marketing.
Yay. Thanks for having me.
Hey guys, if you found value from this episode, I would love if you could tell the world. And if you don't want to tell the entire world, I would love for you to tell iTunes at least. If you can go to iTunes, if you listen to this podcast on iTunes, go ahead and go leave us a review. I have a few here that are amazing that I love to read out. I read every single review that's posted. This one is a review from Amber K. If you're looking for a podcast to efficiently learn hacks to grow your Amazon business, this is it. Andrew's wealth of knowledge is abundant and generously shares it all for this podcast. The latest and greatest information to push to your business to the next level is right here. Stop reading this review and tap play. Nice. Oh, I love it, Amber K. Thank you so much for doing that. So if you think you have a review that is equal or better than Amber K's, or worse, whatever. If you don't like me, that's cool. You can tell me too, whatever. Go to iTunes, leave a review. Also, Spotify now is allowing ratings. So please go onto Spotify and super easy. You don't even have to write anything. You just hit 5 stars and leave that review. You know, as an Amazon seller, how important reviews are to your business. I am asking you, out of the goodness of your heart, please leave me a review as well. Thanks.